we're going to start with hymn number 5 after a wee word of prayer and the wee black book. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the new day and for life and health and strength. A bit iffy about the rain this morning, Lord, but we're thankful for the sunshine now and the promise of good weather for the rest of the day. Lord, please be with those that can't make it out to church. Just thinking of Pat and Steve especially. Those that are ill, those that are shut in, Lord, those that are fearful even now about being out and coming. I pray, Father, please, that you would put your good hand upon them and lift them up, heal them, restore their faith in you. But Lord, for us right now, I pray you please your presence, that you would minister to us, that you would find our prayers and praises acceptable in your sight. And Lord, for our sister churches, wherever they might be, for Stan, for Ed Bissett, for the Aswits, for the Haynes, for the Seelys, for the Cosgraves, Lord, I pray you too for the Christian Institute of Kids for Schools. I pray you please that you would bless these folks, these organizations, all those that are fighting the good fight and holding their corner, Lord, and standing up to be counted. I pray you please that you would watch over and keep and bless. And even in these last of the last days, even in these difficult times, Lord, that you would work in our lives and that we would show that it is better, regardless of the circumstances, to love you and to trust you. Lord, we love you and thank you. Pray that you would grant a prayer request this day and be one of our number as we spend this time in your presence. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Right. Number 5 in the wee black books. We're going to start with the Lord's High Shepherd. Hymn number 5 in the wee black books.
Have one, it's not a competition.
147. Leaning on the everlasting arms. 147. We'll remain seated as we sing.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will be of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in the one body, all members have one, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them, and do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil, for evil provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Thank you for that. Some good verses there. I want to remind you all about the wee green prayer list this morning. Make sure you get one. Please do also take a moment or two, even if it's just once a week, to have a wee read over it and call those names out in heaven. I most certainly would like to think I was prayed for at least once a day. And I know I keep those minister and angels busy. I'm sure most of us do. But please do pray, and don't forget to pray in the words of the song. Are there any other things that we would need to be adding to these to this prayer list? Can't think of anything.
Persecuted church.
Pardon?
Persecuted church.
Persecuted church. Where was that wee woman killed?
Nigeria.
Nigeria. There was a wee woman Will was relating earlier on that was cleaning a church in Nigeria, and local Muslim Yahoos came along and killed her. And did they burn the place to the ground?
No, they just killed her.
But that's the sort of attitude that they want to cultivate in this country too. Please do be much in prayer. We most certainly need the Lord. Don't forget to pray for Pat and Steve. Steve's still having a lot of health issues. Pray for Will as well. I will. Frank, it's hard to tell you apart. Please pray for Frank as well. Pray for Colin and Charlotte. And pray for each other. It is very, very necessary. For our neighbours in the countryside and in the areas round about. People might think it's starting to nip a wee bit at the edges, but things are going to get difficult. There's only going to be one thing that's going to see you through, and that's leaning on the Lord and trusting not in your own understanding. So make sure that you do. Very, very important. See, thanks is looking a bit sparse there, but there's only three. Is anybody thanking the Lord for anything right now? Even if it's just something to do to keep you out of trouble and out of the PSN ISIS. Right? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all of our Blackberries, would you believe?
I was gonna say that.
And would you believe the old plastic that came off the outside of the church is the perfect size for the windows in my porch? I have spent the last couple of days sawing it up and fitting it over the wooden windows so that I don't have to replace the wooden windows, and waterproofing it for the winter, and I got all the bottom bits done just before that rain kicked off. So I'm thankful for all the free PVC. from the church. If anyone can tell me when rosehip season comes in, I'll be out picking rosehips as well. There you go, it started all right. So it might be a month before I get my regular walk in. My half-hour walks might still take an hour of the morning by the time I pick stuff, but I'm thankful the Lord's still good. It's good to see each one of you here. I know we're low on numbers at the moment, but please do pray for the folks around and about us. The outreach will be picking up very, very shortly. So it's good. It's good to get round on a Saturday morning and putting leaflets in, getting back up to the Crescent Link with the megaphones and stuff. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Please do pray about those things. Anyway, that's, do you mind leading us in a word of prayer? You pray first of all.
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for a lovely day, Lord, for sharing every kind thing and every good thing coming from you, Lord. Especially salvation for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, may others see that the precious good, Lord, come to the foolish road cross and be saved, Lord. Convict people throughout this day, Lord, throughout the services throughout this day, Lord. And turn them from evil unto good. And I'll do you like our last through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before our Lord, give wisdom to save the world leaders, Lord. Turn them from the way of self-destruction, Lord, and from sin as well, Lord. To save by the explicit Joe Biden, and also wash on his name, and also the incoming Prime Minister of the UK as well, Lord, to mightily and powerfully. Remember the family of the woman who's in the church in Nigeria, Lord. May do something good, Lord. And even convict them for murderers as well, Lord. May them not go unpunished as well, Lord. Yes, but your will be done, Lord. And Lord, with the persecuted church throughout the world, remember also the China, Lord, save them, save the persecuted Chinese pastors and also people, Lord. Give them strength, Lord, meet their needs as well, Lord. Remember the people in Pakistan that were in prison because of their faith in Jesus Christ, Lord. We help them and grow them and bless them and keep them, Lord, and provide for them as well, Lord. We also wish for people that have been flown in Pakistan, Lord. We have your way, Lord, and show people that they're still there, Lord, and that there's a son to come to be saved by the foolish world, Lord, across the world. Before our world, Lord, give people in Africa and throughout the world, Lord, you may send missionaries, Lord, and send thy word to save those that are lost, Lord. And Lord, give also the meetings that are both throughout this land, Lord, also throughout the world, in church meetings and missionaries, and evangelists, pastors, and also other people, Lord, are truly by the word of God, Lord, and are true to thee, Lord. You may use them to use the Spirit, Lord, to convict those that are lost, and also turn the backs into thee as well, Lord. Give us our service today, Lord. We have more. Give us the Spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord, and bring us in the direct our hearts and our minds and our lives more in tune with thee. Fill our honor and fill our glory. Jesus Christ, again,
amen. Thank you, Paul. Lent, go on, turn that off. I hope you don't mind. You're not too warm, are you? Are we enjoying it? I think it might be 80 degrees there. I keep hearing it going in one ear, and if I can hear it from here, I was just thinking it must be very, very noisy for you. But anyway. Hymn number 29, if you'd like to take the big hymn books, if anybody has a suggestion. There's two more slots before we're finished for the day. I'm more than happy to entertain them. Hymn number 29, At the Cross. We'll remain seated for a moment. We'll stand up for this one. At the Cross.
Thank you.
Cancel that one. 327. 327 in the big books. Let's sing on higher ground. Amen. Something to challenge us for the future, well, thank you.
Lord, let my be done.
songbooks away for a little bit. And if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to John 15 this morning. John 15, I want to read the first 6 or 7 verses of this portion of God's Word. Now, speaking on the subject of picking blackberries, we've already spoken on the subject of picking blackberries very briefly this morning, but that's what we're going to be speaking about today. Or indeed picking any fruit off of any vine. But the principle is the same. I hope this will be a help to you. We spent a month or two learning all these verses, oh, a year or two back. I remember the first few, but that's about it. Amen. Let's begin. John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. In your Bible, these words might be in red. That means that these are the remembered and recorded words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Those are our verses and our text. The title is Picking Blackberries. And amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the open door policy, for the freedom that we have to pray to you, not just in church, Lord, but at bedtime, at meal times, when we're out in the car, we're out for a walk, even in the company of others, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I pray you, Lord, for your presence this morning, that you would give us all a wee taste of understanding and help this time to be a help to us. Lord, we want to do you proud. We want to be your good and obedient and fruitful children. And I pray you, Father, that you wouldn't be done with us, but you would continue to sustain us, to embolden us, to give us portions of wisdom and strength, Lord, everything that we need to do, everything you need for us to do. Bless us now as we take this time around your word. Be with our sister churches, wherever the full council is preached, wherever the King James is open. And Lord, please mold us, shape us, sharpen us and harden us for these up and coming difficult times. Leave these things at your feet, Lord. Pray you too for a private prayer request. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I don't know if you have checked the website, the church website, bbciv.com, but we're missing a month. Yesterday got all of August's messages. Well, they're uploaded, they're not available yet. I still have a little bit of connective work to do. But bear with me, and they'll soon be up and running. I think Monica was speaking to a lady there a little while back, and I have been accused alternatively of making the gospel of Jesus Christ a works gospel. It's not a works gospel. It's a free, forever, and sure gospel, but it's a works life. But I don't like, the only thing I can call them is highfalutin sermons. They're no good to me. Monica recalled that, I think it was a wee woman that was listening to one of the sermons, said one day, and I'm not just telling you this because I'm patting myself in the back, she said, I like Mark's messages because they're useful. And I pray that the services are useful to you, whether they comfort you or whether they encourage you or give you a hand up out of a box that you put yourself into or the world has put you into. or that I just pray that they're helpful. Everybody that would have heard this message back in the day would have understood exactly where Jesus was coming from. They would have understood a little bit of animal husbandry, maybe chickens, sheep, cattle. They would have understood, what do you call it, a little bit of agriculture as well. Is that what you call it? Agricultural husbandry. That might be it, might not be. And the Lord takes, this is a parable, and the parable likens the Lord to a vine. And as part of that vine, there are branches, and that's us. And as part of the branches, there is fruit. And that's the things that we do. And the Lord was actually given an insight into the way things really are. And I know there are many parables, and if you were to delve very deeply or spend far too long looking at the parables, you would end up away down the road somewhere far away from the point the Lord was trying to make, because the parables all explain one point of the Christian life, one point of our relationship with God, or one point in the things that he needs for us to know. And in this particular one, it's an insight into the way that we are connected to God and that the way we should view our lives, how even that the Lord will work in our lives. I need to stop for a minute and I need to explain one or two things. The Lord works in everybody's life. In Joel 2, again, that old verse, the Lord said that there would come a day when his Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And these have been the days for the past 2,000 years. The lost are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and the humble and the seekers will accept the conviction and confess their sins and trust Christ as their Savior and will get saved. The lost who don't accept the conviction of the Holy Spirit will die in their sins and go to a sinner's hell. And those saved souls, they will still receive the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The strength, the comfort, the understanding of the scriptures, a direction for their lives, the greatest of purposes, which is, of course, to seek and to save lost souls. Anybody want? I've heard a lot of people. I heard somebody one day say that when they were in a job interview, where do you expect to see yourself in 10 years? And they said, in that seat there. And people aspire to be as good as the people above them, or at least they should, unless, of course, they love their work. Anyway, the Lord gives us his job. When he was here, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He went up into heaven and he left a big vacancy. It's not just a job for one man to fill, it's a job for all saved men to fill. That connection to God is only established when you repent of your sins. You can't just accept Christ into your heart and be saved. You have to repent of your sins and be saved, because sin and the Holy Ghost don't go well together. It's a bit like oil and water. They just don't go well together at all, or chocolate and cheese. And once that connection is established, that's established for the whole of your life. And you can either cultivate it, and you can live the best of lives. You can live a life of power and of peace and of purpose. You can live a life certainly of contention, but with the power to overcome that contention. You can live a life where you use the things in your life instead of being imprisoned by the things in your life. And that's there until your life is over. The Lord promised that. He'll never lose you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never cast you away. He'll keep you in the palm of his hand. That is your connection to Jesus Christ. But what do you do with it? Because the rest of this, bar one little verse, is talking about saved people. We'll talk about the lost one. Verse 6 says, if someone doesn't want to abide with Christ, they're done. And you might think, but Pastor, you're just after saying that once you're saved forever. Well, you see, you need a little bit of a bigger picture. Whenever you're a little child, you belong to God. Until that little brain levels up a bit and starts to understand what's right and wrong and starts disobeying and starts rebelling. You ever see a little child with their wee hands by their sides and their fists clenched and their wee cheeky wee faces turned up at you saying no. Quickest way to a sore bum I ever came across in my life. There comes a time when that little child needs to be saved. The Lord said to Paul that I was alive without the law once, whenever I was very little, whenever I was in God's grace. But then the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, spiritually dead, he needed to make his decision to be saved after coming out from underneath God's grace. And that's what this is talking about. People that who have started out in the vine, and we all do, up until the age of understanding when we decide whether or not we want to stay with Jesus. And for the soul that doesn't want to receive, just like the fruit would, this sustenance, they're cast out. They're thrown away because they're no good. They will literally wither on the vine. And I've seen it many a time here. If I don't want a big briar growing out into the road that I have to step around, maybe into traffic, I'll lift it and break it. I don't bust it off, because it's hard to break one of those briars off in your bare hands unless you want some puncture wounds. But I'll lift it and break it and it'll die. It'll wither and die. And eventually it will fall off. And that is always the gospel story. The good news is it's free forever and sure. The bad news is if you don't want the free gift, you will die in your sins and go to hell. And that is that. And we don't rejoice in it. I use that and I speak it forthrightly so that we may understand just how perilous the life of a sinner is, the life of a lost soul is. The Lord is deadly serious. He's not come to condemn people. We know that the world's condemned already. He came to save people out of it. In fact, he said in John 10, just a chapter or two back, he said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And that's not talking about the streets of gold, just. That's not talking about new bodies with no aches or pains, just. That's not talking about our sin natures being gone. Just, that's talking about, like, it's not just talking about 100 years from now. It's not talking about when we breathe our last breath and our heart beats its last beat. It's talking about right now. It's talking about you even sitting here in church and God putting his hand on your shoulder and saying, look, don't worry about the outside world for a minute or two. Just let your mind rest on the scriptures. Let it rest on a favorite Bible verse. Let it rest on some of the verses that we're just after saying. Take time away from the world and let my sustenance keep you going. I don't know if you know too much about plants. I'm sure we've all come across them. But every single branch that exists on any plant anywhere gets its water and its nutrients and every single thing that it needs to grow from its roots or from the main trunk. Regardless, I think there are some of those parasitic plants that can eat other plants through the roots that they grow into them, but they all need a root. They all need leaves so that they can turn the sunlight into energy, photosynthesizing. And generally speaking, every plant produces fruit. Whether it's a nut, or whether it's a grape, or whether it's a blackberry, we're talking about picking blackberries. So blackberries are the fruit of our choice. And when the fruit gets ripe, it needs to be picked. But there's something that we need to understand. Maybe something that we don't, at least I didn't until maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And that's saying something. It's only taken me over 50 years to get to understand this. Does anybody remember when they were little going blackberry picking? Mummy and daddy or some older person with a little bit more sense than you gathered a bunch of weans together and took you out blackberrying for one day. And everybody came home with a handful of blackberries and everybody was happy. We used to do it at the church. we would pick a Thursday night and we would take the kids out Blackburn, and if we were lucky, there would, if you'll excuse the term, we would pick enough to give them a jar of blackberry or blackberry and apple jam apiece and have one or two for ourselves. And that's a little part of it, but that's not how harvesting works. That's not what God's talking about whenever he talks about purging the branch. Not all fruit ripens at the same time. There is a season. And God talks about this fruit being taken away. And you might think, well, hold on a second, that means God is talking about something that I have produced being taken away from me. And we think, you know what? But whenever I do things, I like to have them around me. I like to have that satisfaction. I like to have that completion in a job well done. But if those things are, if that fruit is not plucked away, the rest of the fruit won't ripen. Because that already ripe blackberry will keep sucking nutrients off of the branch and out of the vine, and the other ones around it will never ripen. And the one that keeps sucking the nutrients will get overripe, and then it'll get too soft, and it'll rot. And it'll take the rest with them. And it seems like a little bit of a circumspect parable, but what the Lord is actually saying here, the ripe one needs to be plucked so that the other ones have a chance. The things that we do need to be plucked by God, if you want to put it that way, so that other things in our lives have a chance to happen. Other things that he would give us. Now, as you know from a few of the messages, blackberry has been a bit on my mind at the moment. Whenever we were out, we would maybe have picked a couple of kilos with 6 or 7 or 8 children. But over the past 2 weeks, we actually picked more than 20 kilos of blackberries. That's about 44 pounds of fruit. And it wasn't one and done. That was over 14, 15, 16 days. And we got it one day at a time. It's the same with any fruit. You get it one day at a time. It's a little bit like the scriptures actually say, in fact, that if you work it that way, then you will bring forth much fruit. Verse number 5. The same bringeth forth much fruit. The vine that's purged will bring more fruit. So we keep taking the ripe ones so that the unripe ones ripen next day. And then we come back and get them. And that's just the way it is. Now, this little portion of scripture goes on to say, if we abide with him, let God make his home in our lives, God will sustain us. Just in the same way as the vine sustains the branches. And Revelation chapter 3 tells us exactly the same thing, but in a different way, that there's a knocking on our heart, a conviction on our hearts, a calling to us in the scriptures if you read them, in a gospel tract if you come across it, or maybe even just in your conscience, a remembered Bible verse or song or message. God wants to make our home with him, and he wants to make his home with us. If you don't, that's entirely up to you, because God not only gave us the free gift of eternal life, but he gave us the gift of a free will. He wants to save us. He wants not just to save your soul for the end of ages of eternity, but he wants to save your life right now. He wants for you to spend that life with him. And I know it seems like a big ask, because there are so many things in this world that we need to do. Sometimes it feels like you come in from the world spiritually dirty, needing a shower, needing time in God's presence. But we need to keep on with God. And the more that you walk with God, it's like company, it's like friends. The more that you keep company with God, the more that you'll actually become like God. You will adopt his thoughts, you will adopt his words, his principles and statutes. And then you will be able to avail that blessed promise in verse number 7 that says, and then if you ask anything, it'll be done to you. Wouldn't that be cool? Now, I've already mentioned a little bit that it's not a one and done life. It certainly isn't. If you speak to any Christian, or even yourself, if you've spent any time as a Christian, you will know that there are things to test you every single day. And that little bit of fruit that we're talking about could be a victory. It might be as simple as saying no to the devil, and that little bit of fruit is picked. And then there'll be something else that crops up later on in the day. And you say yes to that thing for God and no to that thing for the devil. And there's another little bit of fruit picked. And you become encouraged because you can say, hey, you know what? I rejected evil and I accepted God. And that was just in the space of one day. And that's the tiniest of things. As we sit in our new church, I think it's still new enough that we can refer to the work that was done. It's like projects. It's like anybody that sets down to do a project. This one big project took the form of many little projects. There was the wood to be pulled off the outside. That was one project. And then there was the wood to be put back on again. And then there was the steel skin to be put on top of that. And every single sheet that went on, it was an accomplishment. And so that little bit of fruit was plucked and put away to one side, and we were encouraged, hey, we've done one, we can do two. And then by the time we got two done, we said, we've done two, we can do four. And then by the time we've done four, we said, we've done four, we can do eight. And before you know it, we've got all, 55 or 56 sheets up on the wall. And there's a huge big piece of fruit we can pluck off. We have accomplished this, and now that we've done the outside, let's do the inside. And it's the same again and again and again. Every project has a beginning and an ending. Every one is like a pat on the back and an encouragement to go on and do the next. And it's the same for the Christian life. Only instead of building projects, we're talking about building people projects. There might be a ministry. Somebody might have what they call a friendship ministry. Just be nice to people and let them speak to them and let them see Christ in you. And that subject, don't forget, we Terence McLaughlin, the man that was involved in the accident on the Carmoney Road, still pretty beaten up as of a couple of days ago. Please keep praying for him. It might be people that God really puts upon your heart that you pray about and maybe help out. It might be somewhere that God needs for you to go. Stand in that corner, preach the gospel, hand out a gospel tract. Who knows? It might not even be that. It might just be there. It might be like a missionary journey. God might say to you, well, go and do that. All of the things that you have learned and all of the things, the messages that you have heard and the praises that you've lifted up, the tithes that you've put in the plate, have all brought you to this point. So off you go. And once one's completed, you think, you know what? I was able to do that. And if I can do it once, I can do it twice. I don't know if Will remembers the week before we started up at the Crescent Lincoln. That must be 5 or 6 years ago. And I used to say, God was working on my heart. And he said, every time we would go past, there's the biggest church in the waterside. Look at all the people that turn up to worship the great God of consumerism. And I had said that a couple of times, and then one week, I said, do you know what every church needs? Every church needs a pastor. And I said, it's a pity there's no pastor there to preach to those people. And in that moment, I received a burden from God. And it can be that simple. One that I was prepared to answer, but at the same time, it was completely new. And I wondered what would be the ramifications of it, just in case something might happen. But you will find when you stand for Christ, you tend to keep evil away from you. And you should attract those that are seeking or those that are good to you. So I took the megaphone out and did it. And as ever, before I stand up, I still feel it get a wee jag of adrenaline. Is this going to work out? Am I going to make a mess of the message? Am I going to say the wrong thing? And as soon as I read a verse or two of scriptures, I was in the groove. And I went, kept going for maybe half an hour, three quarters of an hour back in those days. And then before you know it, it was done. And the great euphoria, I can only call it a blessing from heaven itself. Hey, I did that. God, you helped me to do that. I'm going to do it again next week. And I'm going to do it again next week. Up until about 2.5 years ago when I said, Lord willing, we'll be here next week. And I wasn't. I was about a quarter mile up the road in Altmagelvin. God gives us these things and they produce fruit. And we might not come away with a basket full of saved souls. We might not come away with a basket of fruit even. That we can lay our hands on. But we have obeyed the Lord. And that fruit is in us understanding that God will see us through that. And God will see us out the other side. And it's not just about preaching, it's about anything in life. I'm not saying Philippians 4, 12, is it 12, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. 13, there you go, wasn't far away. If that was a hand grenade, it would have helped. You can do all things through Christ. That means things that you never even thought you could do before. And every single thing that you have sat through, every message of mine that you may have suffered through, God reserves the right to remind you of those verses, of those lessons as you go and serve Him. There's a great little verse of scripture that says, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges, at his own expense? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof, or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? God will provision you. That doesn't mean He's necessarily going to have a mobile home with a stocked larder and a fridge and a full tank of gas or petrol. It means that He will strengthen you and embolden you, and you will find it so much easier for the gospel to come out of your lips, and you will find you care so much less about the thoughts going through other people's hearts and minds. And I'm not saying we have to do it or we're being bad Christians, but anybody here that has ever accomplished anything, that has ever set their mind on something and seen it through to the end, will understand the, I hate to use the word feeling, but the sense of accomplishment, the sense of satisfaction, and the sense of challenge in that, if I was able to do that, surely I can go on and do something bigger the next time. It's a little bit like the old campfire parable. You don't start a fire by putting a match at the side of a tree. It just doesn't happen. You start by putting a match to tiny little twigs or even the fluff in your pocket. So that catches and the fire grows. And then you put little twigs over it and they will catch and the fire grows. And then you put branches and then logs. And the more that you add to it, the greater the heat it produces. And it's the same with this. I know that we've had many bad examples in life, where people have just quit. The only thing that God wants quitters for is when it comes to quitting sin and bad behavior. But I know even of men that have stood in this church who have said they would be here for years and decades, that they would be buried in this country. And they are away back home again. I know of a man that, Tom Isaacson, a so-called pastor, that took over a thriving church and literally killed half the congregation. Simply because he wanted to make a name for himself. Stayed there a few years, made a mess and moved on somewhere else and is probably doing exactly the same. Those are not the things the Lord is talking about. Those are quitters. Those are self-absorbed narcissists who want nothing but to be patted on the back and told how wonderful they are. They say, do you know what they used to say about Northern Ireland and maybe even England being a playpen for American missionaries? They think that if they go here, that, now not all of them, but some of them, if they come here, they will have suffered for Jesus on the mission field. In a foreign country with foreign money. They will have had such hard times that that Netflix is still available and Amazon is still there and eBay is still there and satellite TV is still there and broadband is still there, that mobile phones still work, the food's pretty much the same, the cars just drive on the other side of the road and know how they suffer for Jesus, and then they go home saying, we suffered for Jesus. And then they're given a big church because they suffered for Jesus. You may have to suffer a little bit. But we were having a conversation on the way to church. At least I was having a conversation. And we looked at all of the people that were... We looked at all the people that were running up the road. You must have seen them up whenever. Did you see any of the marathon runners this morning, Len? No? You don't run a half marathon. You don't run, what is a marathon? 26 miles, isn't it? You don't run 13 miles after a lifetime of inactivity. You don't do that because your back will give out, your heart will give out, you'll have a stroke, or you'll have something will happen to you. What you actually do is you have to put a bit of suffering in. You have to withhold ease from your body, and you have to push it a little bit. And your mind as well. And even in exactly the same way, to give you an example from my own life, when I came out of hospital, I came across a Facebook challenge for 20 press-ups. And I thought, I can do that. I remember being able to do 20 press-ups in a row one time, and I went down to do 20 press-ups, and I think I could do two. And I thought, I'm not going to let that beat me. So I started doing two every day, and then it got up to three, and then five, and seven. And a couple of months later, I was able to get up to 30 press-ups. By enduring a little bit of hardship and enjoying the accomplishment of completing a task. Now, I don't know all of the talents and the skills that everybody has. I know a lot of Norman's talents and skills because I saw a lot of them at work. I even picked up a few of them. But if you have a talent or a skill, or even if you have a willingness, you could be completely clueless, but if you can make a nice cup of tea, you're definitely a help. There's half an hour of work every day that somebody else doesn't have to do. God can and will use that if you offer it up. He will. And even if you know nothing, God can use not your ability, but your availability. I know Will a lot handier than I am with a paintbrush. Yes, I'm awful. Norman complained about leaving four or five coats of paint in the bathrooms and outside because I put it on streaky. So you're definitely better than I am with a paintbrush. But I never had to look at white paint, at putting white paint on the walls, because Will did it. And every time, I don't know if you do or not, but every time Will walks past that white wall, he can say, I did that. And every time I walk past that wall and rub my hand over it, I say, thank God, thank you Lord, Will did that. And I didn't have to. And that means, Will, that we know you're good for painting even more of the wall the next time. Wouldn't it be awful if you only ever did one thing with all that God has given you? Wouldn't it be awful if you thought, I can paint, but you only ever painted one wall? Wouldn't it be awful if you were a dab hand at working with wood, but all that you ever did was make one table or one chair, and you thought, that's me done. I have proved my talent, I'm done. Yet so many people do. What we don't understand is the same truth that God spoke to Adam in the book of Genesis, the first man. He said, the ground will bring forth thorns, for your sake. And not yield its fullness for free, you're going to have to work at it. And the same joy that God had when he created the world. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1, and you look at the end of every day that God completes a job like calling the earth into being, and at the end of every day God says, it was good. And whenever it was all done, he said, it was very good. It went downhill after that, after he put man on it, but God loved his creation. He enjoyed his creation and he appreciated it. We many times don't understand. We grind our teeth when we have to do stuff because we don't understand that the things that are incumbent upon us to do, the things that God burdens us to do, we will get a kick out of. We will literally grow and enjoy and expand our abilities to serve God, to cope with the things that's going on in the world right now. Because what did God say? Let us make man in our image. We can appreciate the same things. We love to create. God loves to create. We love to build. We love to accomplish. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's a builder, or everyone's a doctor, or a computer programmer. That used to be one of the greatest thrills I got in work, was starting off, this is what I need to do, getting through it and saying, there you go, you can do your work now because of what I did. I used to get a kick from that, I still get a kick from that. There's many things, needing done in our lives that will give joy and even happiness to our lives. There's many souls needing to hear the gospel. Even in our own lives, we need to read our Bible not once and it's done, but over and over to remind us. We need to pray not once when it's done, but many times, sometimes every day, because we're confounded and confused and annoyed so many times in a day. There's many times we need to reach out to people. I wish it was only one and done, but we're not computers, we're people. We're living souls. And there's many things to do besides that, just to make the rest of it as smooth as possible. And people think it's a trouble and a woe to serve God. But all the things that God has ever done to his people in the Word of God were not to destroy them. They were to chasten them whenever they did wrong. They were to strengthen them when they were going the right way. They were to make us better, to help us grow. Not just in confidence in our own abilities and pride and self, but in God. Because when everything else fails us, God will never fail us. He'll never let us go. But most importantly, and the pinnacle, the grand aim of our endeavors should be to make our lives pleasing to God and to reach other people for the cause of Christ. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I couldn't do that, but I'm not going to ask anybody a question, but how many social networks do you belong to? I think I'm Facebook and that's it. I might have a Twitter account because I keep getting notifications, but I'm never on it. There's Instagram, there's Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook. Those are the only four or five. But email's mine. But how many of those even can, as they call it, a keyboard warrior use to reach out in the name of Christ? There's always a way. And anybody with more than a few neurons firing together will find a way. Now sometimes the burdens go when the fruit is purged. And new avenues, once they close, new avenues will open up. God is never one to let a really useful asset sit doing nothing or gather in rust. And I know from from Norman's schedule of events that he has planned, that after the church was done, he was painting his house, and he was digging drains, and putting up a new fence, and doing other stuff. And he had oil tanks to cut up, and this, that, and the other. And every single one enables him, I used to say about, I find a new power tool, and it does this. There'd be a new power tool to make a job a bit easier, a new skill to acquire and develop, new things to accomplish. It's the same in the Christian life. We can go and grow as far and as much with God as we give him space in our lives. It's entirely up to us. But there may come a time when he says, yep, right, we're done with that ministry. You've completed it. I'm happy with it. Here's a new one. Or have a look around. It might not be that explicit, but it happens. I'm thankful that he doesn't just say, whenever we're born, here's all the things I need you to do. And he's a list a mile long for each and every child that was born into the world. These are the jobs I need for you to do. Because what would that do to us? We would look at it and we would walk away. Because it would be too much for us. But each one of those jobs enables us to do the next job and the next job and the next job. And each outreach, each little bit of growth, each little bit of effort you put into your Christian life enables you to do a little bit more. Every inch a child grows enables it to reach the biscuits that are put in the bigger cupboards. You know, the rich teas are put in the low shelf. The digestives are put in the next shelf. And the chocolate biscuits are put in the cabinets that sit over the top that they can't reach until they're, 9 or 10 or 11. Unless they get really talented. I saw a child pulling the drawers out in some of the units so it could climb up onto the bench and get those biscuits. That might be one for PsyOps somewhere. But friends, there's many examples. I'm going to give you one more. I already mentioned this morning that I'm putting the plastic that came off the church and putting it onto the porch of the house. Because I want to be able to sort of insulate the windows on the inside, because when I put the insulation on the outside, the ultraviolet perished all the perspex. I counted it before I finished yesterday. Or was it Friday? There are 10 windows. And each one of those windows has 5 pieces of plastic that has to go into it. And that doesn't count another 6 pieces of plastic along the bottom. So that's about 60 pieces of plastic that I have to cut. And everyone has to have a beveled edge because the window frames are not like that. They're like that. They're like a trapezium shape. And even the thought of measuring and cutting every single one, because there's not very many duplicates, is a bit daunting. So my plan was, I'll put the bottom strip on first. And then I stand back and look at it and think, but you know what? It's looking better already. And then next, I'll put the verticals on. And I put those on, and I did those one day, and that took a few hours. And I looked back and I thought, you know what, that's starting to look like a bit of PVC window already. And the next day, I put all the inserts on low down on. And so all of a sudden, I am more than halfway through the job, and it doesn't feel like quite as big a job as it sounded like when I started out. There's an old saying, there's more than one way to skin a cat, but has anyone ever heard of the best way to eat an elephant? What is it, Will?
One bite at a time.
That's it. One bite at a time. That's how you eat an elephant. Now I've spoken for, goodness, half an hour on how to do things for God. I don't know what God has put in each one of your hearts. I honestly don't. The one thing I would say to you is never be afraid to mention the thing, to You mentioned the man that saved your soul for the endless ages of eternity as part of a casual conversation. Don't be afraid of that. People need to hear, because there's certainly no other good news out there at the moment. But there is a cost to all of this. Sometimes it's in friends, sometimes it's in sleepless nights. But it's worth it all. I'm going to give you this promise from the Bible. The Lord will provide. Whether it will be something that you held dear that you see is not as valuable as you once thought, which can be gotten rid of, used, or whatever, I don't know. The Lord will provide. And he will provide sometimes in the most amusing or the most impossible of ways. Whether it's food, shelter, clothing, finance, or even just all of a sudden the brainwave of how to accomplish a certain task, the Lord will provide. Just like a soldier, one of the other parables of the Bible likens his children unto soldiers. And there's no soldier ever, soldiers are paid to go and fight, and then they're trained to go and fight. And God will make a way for you. If you will line up, if you will turn up whenever the trumpet sounds and accept what God will do for you, he will make you ready. Not the government that will prepare your soul for eternity. Neither is it our education system, certainly not. Neither is it our media, and certainly not our commercial arm of life here at the moment. It's not the council offices or the DHSS. It's just God, and it's upon him we need to lean. If we Proverbs 3 and 5 will probably ring a bell. I'm closing with this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's without the these and the thous on it. So, because we need it. Life is just better when you accomplish. And there is no better thing to accomplish than the things that God sets in front of you. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I have a slot for a song. Has anybody got one? Mrs. Bradfield? 101 in the big hymn book. If you'd like to take a turn there. 101. Jesus never fails. Do I know this one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's stand as we sing 101. Do we need to play an extra verse? Okay.
Love and care for you, one who will not.
bless you. Let's close your eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time you set aside. I pray that you would bless us as we part company and see us safely home. If you would take and use us, Lord, please don't be done with us. Please don't be done answering prayers and working through us, Lord. We really do want to see so many people saved and safe and peaceful, Lord, even in the middle of a storm. Lord, bless us as we go. And Lord, for those that aren't here, I pray that you would work on the hearts and minds. For those that can't be, I pray, Lord, that you would lift them up and restore them. But most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We love you and praise you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.